Amen. Lord, we need you every hour, every moment of every day. Lord, we know that at the name of Jesus, Lord, all fears are conquered. All help is given by speaking the name of Jesus, and we just thank you for that. Lord, we pray that as we come into this place today, Lord, you would be evident, and Lord, we would know you in a mighty, mighty way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Today, I want us to focus on the importance of the Holy Spirit and what's happening in our world. The Scripture tells us in the last days that there's going to be a big falling away, and we know that. In our own nation, there's a falling away. People not believing in Christ, people claiming not to be Christians. But at the same time, the Scripture also says in the last day there will be an outpouring of His Spirit. As we've been looking at the end times and what's going to happen before Christ comes, one of the things that's going to happen is the devil's going to get madder and madder because he sees the signs just as we sometimes don't see the signs, but he sees the signs coming too. He knows the days are short of Christ coming back. And because of that, he's trying to stir up things and trying to take as many people away from the kingdom as possible. But at the same time, there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God, and in that outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God, we're seeing revival come. It is a refreshing, and it brings hope when we know that they're young people. I mean, people talk about our young people, and they talk about how that they're not following Christ, and they're falling away from the church, and they're falling away from all these things. But let me tell you what, that's where God is stirring right now. He is stirring our young people. They are becoming woke, okay? There's one thing, that some of them became woke, and now they're becoming woke, which means they're waking up to the fact of who Jesus Christ really is and who God really is and how He really needs to be a part of their lives. Started a couple of weeks ago at Asbury University, and from there it has grown and grown and grown, and God is working and God is moving. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, get on the web and just punch in revival and see what happens and what comes up. God is stirring His people, and God is bringing His people to a fresh wind and a fresh fire in His people. And when that happens, it's going to bring others to come to Christ in that way. Well, what is that? What happens when that? Jesus Christ said when He left this earth, He said, I am not going to leave you alone. I'm going to leave you with someone. He said, I'm going to leave you with my Holy Spirit for you. So in the book of John, chapter 16, verse 5, He begins to tell us about what's going to happen. The disciples were worried. The disciples were afraid of what was going to happen. And He says, now I'm going to Him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. And He will not speak of His own. He will speak only what He hears. And He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while you will see me no more. Then after a while you will see me again. I want us to look at seven characteristics of the Holy Spirit of God and what He does and why God left the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we relegate the Holy Spirit to this third being of the Trinity that it's just an it. It's just something out there. It's not something that we really understand, and so we just kind of don't pay much attention to Him. But He is a part of the Godhead. He is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He was there at the beginning with God when the world was created. He is going to be there at the end when the consummation of time comes and that happens. But right now, He is what is left for us here on this earth. Often we talk about inviting Christ into our life, inviting Jesus into our life. And we say things about inviting Christ into our heart, or inviting Christ into our life, and turning our life over to Him. Let me tell you what we're really saying. We're saying, Lord, let Your Holy Spirit come and dwell in me. Because that's what dwells in us right now. We as believers, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, He says, My Holy Spirit comes and He dwells in you. And when He comes to dwell in you, there's certain things that He does for us. It's really kind of futile for us to try to serve God without the power of the Holy Spirit. We can have talent, we can have training, we can have experience, but it can't take the place of the Spirit of God. I'm afraid that too many churches, and I hope that never is said about our church, is this, that if the Holy Spirit was removed, they would just keep on going as normal and no one would know the difference. I hope that's never said of this church. Because I want us to make sure that we are following after the Spirit, that we're walking in step with Him, that we pray and we seek the Spirit, and we know that whatever we do here is a part of the Spirit of God, and that He is a leader and director for us in that way. Well, what does He do? In verse 13, He tells us here that the first thing He's going to do is He's going to guide us into all truth. When He comes, He will guide you into all truth. One of the things that Jesus said about this Holy Spirit is that He would guide us, that He had much more to say, but since it would be too much to bear at the time, He said, I'll send the Holy Spirit, and He's going to say these things to you. He told the disciples, there's so much that you can't even put it in your mind. You can't comprehend. But He said the Holy Spirit's going to help you in doing that. Every day we ought to wake up when we read our Word, when we spend time in the Word or whatever, the first thing we ought to do is say, Holy Spirit, guide me in Your truth. Teach me what You want. Show me Your truth out of this passage. Because we can have the greatest teachers, we can have the greatest leaders, we can have the greatest preachers, we can have all those things. But if the Holy Spirit is not directing us into His truth, we can get off track real easy. We got a lot of people that are kind of off track these days. They're talking about what the best life is or this or that or whatever, and we lose track of who should be sharing the real truth with us, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. Nothing wrong with great Bible studies. Nothing wrong with great teachers. I hope that you have a great Sunday school teacher. I hope you have great teachers, great books to read, and everything else. But make sure that the Holy Spirit is the one that's leading you into truth, because He's not going to lead you away from the truth of God in doing that. He tells the saint to come because He knows the truth about every situation that we're going to face. He knows those things. As we listen to Him, we won't be walking in the darkness and living in the darkness. We'll be walking in the light of His glorious grace, prepared for the things that are coming in our life. When we need to know the truth about anything, we can call on the Holy Spirit of God. We go, well, how do I know that? How do I hear that? How do I sense that? We stay close to Him. Now, when I was a kid, I could be in a crowd of people and my mother or my dad could call out my name and I knew it was them. I knew their voice. Why? Because I had a close, intimate relationship with my parents. And because I had that intimate relationship with them, they could climb out, Glenn! And I would cringe. Then if they used my middle name, it was even worse. That's the only reason they give you a middle name, so your parents can yell at you. But I knew their voice. I could be in a crowd of people and I could pick out my parents' voice. One of the problems that we have in relationship to the Spirit of God is that if we're not in a close, intimate relationship with Him, we won't hear His voice. We won't hear His voice. So in order to hear His voice, you've got to develop a close, intimate relationship with Him where you talk to Him and you speak with Him and you read the Word, and God will direct your heart and He will direct your path, and He will direct your mind to hear what the Spirit says. And too many people say, well, I've lived my life as a Christian all my life, and I hear this all the time, but I've never heard the Spirit of God talk to me. Now, it may not be in an audible voice, but He communicates with our spirit. And when He communicates with our spirit, you know it's God. And you need to seek that and seek that relationship with Him to say, I'm going to seek that relationship so I can hear His voice and know His voice. So He guides us, but He can't guide us if we're not listening. And He can't guide us if we're not willing to follow and obey and listen to His voice. The second thing that He does, in verse 26 of John chapter 14, Jesus said, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will teach us all things and remind us the things that Jesus said. The Holy Spirit will teach you what you need to know about your life. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, my Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and to bring you into remembrance those things which I have taught you. I'm sure you've seen Bible teachers, and I've had Bible teachers who teach accurately, and they've never been into Bible school. They've never gone to seminary. They've never gone to those places, and they've never learned anything, but they know the truth of the Word. Why? Because they've immersed themselves into the Word of God. And as they've immersed themselves into the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God has taught them. And as He taught them, they're able then to turn around and teach others the truth of God's Word. You don't have to be the greatest scholar and have degrees to know the truth about God's Word, because the Holy Spirit of God is the greatest teacher that there ever was, that there ever is. And He teaches us these things. When you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit gives you revelation. As you read, God opens up things, and you're able to know and deal with many situations of what you had no clue about. And when you do that, it helps you because He teaches us those things. There's always something new to learn with the Holy Spirit, because Jesus said there's so much more that I can't even tell you all of it. And the Holy Spirit is always trying to teach us new things. Not things that are contrary to the Word of God, but things that fall in line with the Word of God. He's not trying to show us something different. He's trying to show us something new. And when He shows us those new things, we help to understand those things and do that. The third thing that He does, the Holy Spirit of God does, is He empowers us with inner strength. In Ephesians 3, 16 and 17, it says this, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Here's what He says He does. The Holy Spirit strengthens our inner being so that Christ can dwell in our heart, that He can live in us. Dwell. That word dwell means to take up residence. It means to be at home. Have you ever gone someplace and when you get home, you get in your bed and go, man, there's nothing like being in my bed. There's nothing like being home. Being home. And you just say, goodness, it's a comfort. It's a feeling of peace that comes over you. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to dwell in your heart in that way. When He comes into your heart, He wants to feel at home. He wants to feel like this is the place I need to be. This is the place that welcomes me. This is the place that's comfortable. This is the place that I find joy and peace. Now, I've traveled some time and sleep in a motel bed, and it's not good. One time we were traveling to Florida. It was the middle of the night, about 2 o'clock in the morning. We got into a motel, and as we got into the motel, we went in and took our young sons that were with us at the time, and we took them and put them into bed and said, get to sleep. We're going to sleep a couple hours and make it on down to our destination a little bit. And the boys were laying there in bed and said, man, this bed's terrible. I said, well, my boys have never complained about a bed. This bed's horrible. It's got big lumps in it. And I was like, oh, just be quiet. Go to sleep. Just be quiet and go to sleep. Well, next morning we got up and they got and said, man, that was the worst bed we've ever been in. I said, it's okay, it's all right. So I looked over at the bed and there was a kind of a lump in the middle. And I pulled the mattress up And someone had taken all their garbage from the time before and had dumped it in the bottom of the, between the mattress and the box spring. There was banana peels and apples and potato chips and Coke cans and all kind of stuff piled in there. Garbage in your life will make it uncomfortable for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. That was pretty good. Garbage in your life. We got to make it where He can dwell there, where it's comfortable. He gives us that inner strength that He does for us. But He has to be able to dwell there to give us the strength. When we're weary, when good God renews our strength through the Holy Spirit, it makes the journey from life easier. When we're weary. When we've heard reports from doctors, when we've heard reports from family, when we hear disheartening news, when we're weary, the Holy Spirit of God is a comforter. He comes in and He helps us and He gives us inner strength. Have you ever seen someone that has strength sometime and you go, how do they do it? How do they keep on keeping on? They do it by the power of the Holy Spirit of God who gives that strength for us to do. The fourth thing that He does, Scripture tells us in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, goodness, patience, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, that He produces fruit in our lives. The Holy Spirit produces fruit. As we grow in our faith, we should be manifesting the fruit of the Spirit in our daily lives. That we should have more and more of these things coming out. The closer we get to God, the more the Holy Spirit works in our life. These things should be happening. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It should be part of our life that is natural. It becomes natural to us. It's natural for a fruit tree to bear fruit. If that fruit tree doesn't bear fruit, then it's just like Jesus as He came along, the fig tree wasn't bearing fruit. He cut it, He cursed the tree and it died. And He says in your life, you ought to be bearing fruit. These things, the closer you get to God, the more these things should be coming out of your life. And I look at some Christians and I say, man, you're like a lemon tree. Well, you've been sucking on lemons, it looks like. Or maybe persimmons. Anybody ever ate a persimmon? Woo! Yeah, I mean, make you pucker up big time, make your jaws hurt. And that's how some of us look, like, oh, all the time. There's no joy, there's no peace, there's no patience, there's no kindness, there's no understanding. Why? Because they're not allowing the Spirit of God to rule in their hearts. When the Holy Spirit of God rules in your heart, it changes things. And you become the person God wants you to be. The beauty is, we don't make it happen on our own. We don't make it happen. Only God makes it happen. Only God makes it happen. Now, one time I went out to an orchard. And I'm out there in this orchard, and it's a peach orchard. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm going to go out and look at the trees and see how they're doing. And I listened to this guy come along. And he said, listen, I want you to listen real carefully. I said, what? He said, listen to these peach trees. He said, can't you hear them? He said, I said, yeah, I hear them. They're going, I said, that's amazing. He said, yeah, they do that. And they go, peach. He said, no, that's not what they do. He said, you're not hearing nothing. He said, you know what those peach trees are doing? They're resting in the soil and receiving the nutrients. And when they do that, the peaches naturally come. He said, we got Christians running around going, let me try harder. Let me try. I'm going to have more patience. Don't ever pray for that one. I'm going to have more patience. I'm going to have more kindness. I'm going to have more joy. I'm going to be joyful if it kills me. That's not what Jesus said. He said, let your roots go down deep into me. And when you do, the natural result of the Spirit of God is those things are just going to come out. They'll come out. And you'll go, where'd that come from? I had a man in my church one time that he worked in the oil fields. And if you've ever, anybody ever worked in an oil field? They have a different language they speak there out in the oil fields. He was working on his life and trying to get his life right with Christ and do stuff. And he said, man, I was working on my life and trying to get things right with Christ. And I kept praying, God, you got to clear up my tongue. It's so easy for me. I've heard these words. I've said these words. I've used these words. Everything just became second nature to him to curse and to use those words. And one day he was out in his yard and Jay was out there and he said, man, I'm working out there. And he said, I'm hammering away on something. I don't know what it was. He said, I hit my thumb and I went, oh, fiddle faddle. And he said, who said that? He said, I never heard myself say anything like that in my life. He said, and I realized that the Holy Spirit of God was changing me. I didn't have to make an excuse anymore for the way I talked, the way I did. I let the Holy Spirit of God change me from the inside out. And it changed me in that way. Another thing that he does is he gives freely spiritual gifts. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, another the word of knowledge through the Spirit. And 1 Corinthians 12:7 is where that's at. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 12:7. And he talks about the gifts of healing, the working of miracles, the prophecy and discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing each one individually as he wills. Once the Holy Spirit, he comes in and gives us gifts. Every one of you has gifts. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you have a gift, at least one, maybe more. If you don't know what they are, you need to find out so you can be using them for his kingdom. He doesn't give them for you. He gives them for you to be used in the body, to share with others. It's amazing when that happens. So he gives spiritual gifts. Paul encourages us earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Their gifts are free, given by the Spirit for us. The sixth thing that he does, he helps us in our weakness. He helps us in our weakness. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for. The Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Have you ever been in a place where you just couldn't even pray? You were so overwhelmed by the situation. You were so overwhelmed by the things in your life that you just, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to pray. Do I pray for this person to get well? Do I pray for God to take them on? Do I pray selfishly? Do I pray, God, your will be done? And when I pray that, it's selfish on my part? That's when the Holy Spirit of God comes before God himself and says, listen, your child is struggling. They don't even know what to say right now. And they make prayers for us. Praise God for that. Because I'd rather have the Spirit praying for me than anyone else. Thank you for praying for me if you do. But I sure want the Holy Spirit of God praying for me. And that's what the Scripture says that he does for us and through us when we don't even know what to say. The sixth thing that he does, the seventh thing that he does, he leads us in every part of our life. He leads us in every part of our life. He's the one who is the one who directs us and leads us. He gives us a path. He's our guide. Last night we took some men and we went over to the Association of Beast Feast. And the guy that was there has been a guide in 25 years in Alaska. And what they do is they take guys out on these hunts and they go out in the middle of the wilderness, coming from nowhere. They sometimes take them out in an airplane. They drop them down and say, see you in 10 days. And just drop them off out in the woods. Drop them off. He said the GPS doesn't work where they're at. He said they're just out there. And can you imagine looking at your guide and saying, hey, where are we at? And he goes, I have no clue. How are we going to get home? I have no idea. Where are we heading to? I don't know. But they trust their guide. They trust their guide. This guide, they trust him to the point that they had a grizzly bear 6 feet from them, face to face. And they were down on their knees. And anyway, another story. He lived to tell the story. But can you imagine your guide not knowing where to go? Isn't that how we treat God sometimes, though? Spirit, you don't know what you're talking about. I know better. I think if we go this way. I know men have a built-in compass in men to know how to go. We don't have to look at maps or listen to GPS. We just kind of know where we're going all the time, right? Ladies, you know that. But the ladies always have to tell men where to go. That's why in all of your cars, if you have one of those little machines that tells you where to go, or you have Siri, or you have Alexa on your phone, or one of those things like that, it's always a woman voice telling you where to go. Right? Anybody in here got a man's voice down? See what I'm saying? Oh, a couple of you ladies need to get one. But we trust our guide because he guides us. He guides us and tells us where to go. And he listens to us as we share with him. And we listen, God, what do you want me to do? God, where do you want me to be? What in my life is next? And God says, I'll show you. But God, I want to see way out there. And God says, no, I want you to see right here. It's kind of like us going from here to Pueblo, or Pueblo, as Art would say. When you get in your car, if it's nighttime, you turn on your lights. The lights don't shine all the way to Pueblo. They only shine far enough down the road for you to see. When you get to that spot, now the lights are a little farther down the road. And when you get to that spot, they're a little farther. And that's what the Spirit of God does for us. He's not going to show us everything. That's why Jesus said, I can't tell you everything. If I did, it would overwhelm you. But I'm going to show you till you get to the next spot. And when you get to that spot, I'm going to shine a little farther, and I'll show you the next spot. If we'll trust him, he will take us everywhere that we need to be. And the eighth thing that the Holy Spirit of God does is he convicts us of sin and of righteousness. He is the one who brings conviction in our life. He is the one who stirs our spirit inside to let us know what's truth. He's the one who stirs us inside to know what's right and to know what's wrong. We don't have to ask, I wonder if this is right. I wonder if this is what I should be doing. We listen to the Holy Spirit of God. He will show us and do that. One of the greatest things that's happening at the revival as it began happening was that they were called to repentance. And as they were called to repentance, the Holy Spirit of God began to move across the building. As the movement of God started moving across the building, people began to weep over their sin. They began to break down and began to confess their sin openly before the Lord. They began to repent of where they had lived and how they had lived and what they were doing. And they fell on their face before the altar and said before God, God, thank you for convicting me of sin. Conviction comes to us not to make us feel bad about who we are. Conviction comes to us to make us turn to the one who can forgive, the one who can make us right, the one who gives life, the one who gives hope, the one who gives restoration in our hearts and in our life. This morning as we come to this place, we've prayed and we've asked the Holy Spirit to come. And I hope that he will do these things in your heart and in your life today. But I believe more than anything else what Christ wants for us is to examine our hearts and to look and to say, like the psalmist David, Lord, look into my life. Is there any wicked way in me so that I can be living where I need to be? Revival will not come until we all look inside of ourselves and say, God, in me, is there any way there that is offensive to you? Is there any way there that is outside of your boundaries where I need to be living? And once that happens, then we can start on the road to allowing the Spirit to lead us and direct our lives into all things. Father, I pray that in the next few moments, Lord, you will move in this place. Draw us to this altar. Draw us to you so that we can see the power of the Holy Spirit fall on this place like you want. Lord, we pray for revival, not just of the church, but a revival of each individual heart. Stir it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.